Welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network, coming to you from the TeacherCast studios since 2011. Join us each week as we bring you the latest educational news, EdTech updates, and hottest interviews with today's most influential leaders in education. And now, for your host, Jeff Bradbury.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network. My name is Jeff Bradbury, and welcome to the Jeff Bradbury Show. I have a fantastic show today talking all about your students and how you can continue to support them in these very times as we're heading towards the end of the school year. My guest today is a two-time TEDx speaker, author, and he's currently on tour helping kids empty their backpack. We're going to learn all about that stuff. I want to bring on today Mr. Sam Demma. Sam, how are you today? Welcome to TeacherCast.
Jeff, I'm excited to be here. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
I am excited to have you. I've been checking out your website over at samdemma.com, checking out the great stuff about the book. Tell us a little bit about who Sam Demma is.
Yeah, there's been many evolutions. Growing up, I spent most of my time in a European household, eating great food, hearing stories from grandparents, playing competitive sports. For me, the game was soccer. That was a big part of my childhood up until the age of 17 when I had three major knee injuries. Totally turned my dreams upside down, put me on a very different path thanks to a teacher who saw something special in me and really just put his belief in my backpack. And that led me down a journey of social impact, keynote speaking. I just released a book recently and now working in schools helping young people who are going through challenges themselves.
Well, let's take a look at that, because I think any educator out there knows somebody who might not be at the top of their game, might be going through some issues, might be having some trouble. Sometimes a teacher doesn't know what's going on. That's why I totally respect all the work that's going on in the counselors' departments. And, you know, even in my own position, I'm constantly working with our counselors to make sure that we're up to date with what's going on with our students. Talk to us a little bit about where you see today's youth.
Great question. There's so much anxiety in the world right now. I mean, you were just asking me before we hopped on, how's the tour going? We just did 10 schools in 4 days, you know, thousands of students, and the amount of young people walking up afterwards, whispering, cause they don't want their friends to hear, asking, you know, some significant questions, about their low levels of self-esteem or their struggles with their confidence or feeling like they're not fitting in, or not knowing how to support their friends who are struggling. I was at a school, St. Francis of Xavier, 2 weeks ago. Student walks up to me after the speech and tells me that he tried taking his life 2 times last year. I think there are so many challenges that exist. We're living in a very multifunctioning world. There's life in person, but for young people, there's also life online that creates a whole added layer of complexity. So there is significant challenges, but I believe that it's building so much resiliency at the same time, and that young people today are going to be more prepared for the future as a result of the weight they've had to carry on their shoulders as a result of all these rapid changes. But those are some of the things that I'm hearing.
What do you think is the catalyst for all of this stuff? And it's ironic that we're talking about this today. Recently, I did a show all about teacher stress, teacher burnout, and you know, the pressures that happen from the teacher side. I love that today we're talking about all this from the student side. So my big question that I want to ask you is, what is putting pressure on students today? And are you seeing it mostly in the upper grades, middle grades, lower grades? What's getting on students today?
I think there's pressure from peers, but more than anything, it's pressure placed on self as a result of comparison, as a result of other people's expectations. A lot of the students that come up to me, the first question they ask is, hey, Sam, how do I increase my GPA in math, or how do I study better? And I don't speak on those things, but it's funny that they ask me about it. And I think it's because there's this societal expectation that you have to have, you know, 95% average. And if you don't go into a really great university program, you're a failure. So I think from a professional perspective, there's all this pressure that we place on ourselves and that other people in society also place on us to do well. I think social media created this never-ending snowball of comparison where everyone is posting their best moments and we're not getting to see all people's challenges and failures. And this constant comparison of our real life to somebody else's highlight reel robs us of a lot of our joy, fulfillment, and happiness, especially when we're still developing our brain as young people. I mean, I'm only 24. Mine's not fully developed yet either. So I think the comparison, the striving to be perfect and have a good career are two of the biggest things that are causing young people unprecedented amounts of stress.
When does this usually happen with students? How young are students when they're reaching out to you or when you're trying to connect with that? And I'm asking you as the father of 10-year-olds, when do I need to start worrying about my students?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think in the younger grades, we are more, I've experienced working with hundreds of schools, the younger grades from maybe grade 4 to grade 8 are more focused on their friends, their deep relationships. There's more issues of words that aren't appropriate being used and bullying. I think as we get into the high school grades, those things are definitely still present. But as that young adult enters grade 11 and grade 12, I think that's when this really big pressure starts to set in, both the professional pressure of doing something quote unquote successful with your life, and then that comparison pressure because you see what all your friends are doing. So I would say behavioral challenges, I've seen more of that in elementary schools in the intermediate ages. And then those professional and self-esteem challenges really setting in more in grade 11 and grade 12 with high school students.
If you're an educator listening to this episode and you notice somebody in your class or in your school starting to, you know, need some support, what are some of the things that teachers and educators can do to support their kids?
Such a good question. We did a cross Canada speaking tour, and one of the places we stopped was in a small rural community in Manitoba called Boisevain. And before our performances, we play basketball in the gym. And I remember we were shooting the ball and there was a student sitting on the bleachers, and we just ran over and asked her if she wanted to play. And we ended up shooting the basketball with her for maybe 10, 15 minutes. Didn't say much. I got her name, and that was it. And we did the performance and we were packing up. We went to the parking lot, loaded everything into the Pontiac minivan. And as we're about to start driving away, she runs out the front door of the school building, runs over to the car, rolled down the window. And she said, "Hey, you know, I just wanted to say thank you for the invitation to play. No one knows how much I'm struggling in this school community. And it was one of the first times that I felt welcomed or included in something." And, you know, I think sometimes you overcomplicate it. I think one of the easiest ways to support young people is to give them our time, void of advice and feedback, to just sit with them in the mud, to give them an invitation to play. Those are some of the things that I think I've done and our team has done when we're on the road that's had the greatest impact, and we don't even recognize we're making that difference. I think the other thing is shedding light on people who have taken different paths and still found their own unique version of success. You know, I was the student that took a fifth year of high school, took a gap year after I finished high school, went to university, paused my university degree, and then took a very different entrepreneurial path. Sharing more stories like that with grade 11s and 12s will help them have the confidence to choose their own unique path in life, even if it's very different from the pathway that everyone else around them is choosing to embark on.
Where did you get this concept for helping students to empty their backpack?
Instagram live call during the pandemic with a high school student. He hops on screen and tells me his two biggest goals in life are to be an actor and have 50,000 followers on TikTok. By the way, make sure you're following the Teacher Cast on all platforms. I didn't understand why you wanted social media followers, so I just asked him what in your life would change if all of a sudden you had 50,000 people following you. And grade 10 student, he said, "If I had 50,000 followers, kids at school would stop bullying me." And he started crying on the call, turned off his phone screen, and it was Instagram live. So we had 30 people watching. Thankfully, they started like bombarding the chat box with the most positive stuff, trying to support this young man, make him feel loved and cared for. 5 minutes later, we get him to turn his camera screen back on. We connect him with his guidance counselors. We sent him some merchandise in the mail, But the call ended and I just couldn't stop thinking about how this young man was allowing other people's thoughts and opinions about him, who probably don't even care about him, to change the way he's showing up, to change the way he sees himself. And I wondered how long he'd been carrying around other people's thoughts. And as I was thinking about carrying around things, the thought crossed my mind, what do students carry? And the image of a backpack came to mind. And I was writing a book at the time titled Dear High School Me, and it was going to be advice for high school students written by a person not far removed. I changed the name of the book to Empty Your Backpack, and I thought if you're carrying lots of opinions and thoughts, you probably have a pretty big one. And so I searched Giant Backpack online. I ended up finding one, long story short, on Facebook Marketplace. Flipped it upside down, branded it, and that's really where the idea of the backpack of beliefs, or how it's used as an analogy for our minds, kind of came to life.
And you've been on a tour for that will be 88 days, going through 87 speeches and working on 40,000 people. Tell us a little bit about the mission. What is your overall goal for this journey that you and your team are on?
Yeah. So the first leg of the tour was a huge success, and we've continued it to this day. We've stopped in over 600 schools now in the past 6 years, but the Empty Your Backpack piece started at the beginning of the year in March 2023, and it's continued till now. The overall goal is to help young people recognize that they don't have to allow the negative thoughts or words or opinions of other people or society to change the way they see themselves, that their self-worth isn't defined by someone else's thoughts, opinions, or expectations. Mindset is so important, yet it's so hard to explain it to a young person, how our beliefs lead to our emotions and those lead to our actions and our actions lead to our results. And so the root of most of our challenges comes from our personal philosophies. And so the imagery of the backpack, the hope with the whole mission, is to help drive that point home and help students understand that maybe they can't control their external circumstances or other people's words or thoughts, but they can control what they choose to carry on their shoulders forward. That's really the aim and the goal of all the programs in schools.
It's amazing the work that you've done. I've had a chance, like I mentioned, to check out your speeches, your TED Talks, and check out a little bit of the book. I'd like to ask you to tell a story about somebody in your life that has helped put you on the path that you're currently on.
How do I choose just one? You know, because this is an educational show, I'll share a story about Mr. Loudfoot, who is an educator who fundamentally changed my life. I was in grade 12. I just had my second knee surgery. I lost a full ride soccer scholarship to Memphis University. All of my teammates earned full ride Division I scholarships. You know, two of them ended up on the Canadian men's national team. They now play in the US. So for your US audience, in case you're wondering. And I remember feeling like my entire self-worth and identity as a human being was robbed. And you expect your family and your friends to really show up and support you. And I was fortunate that I had those supports in my life, but sometimes you don't expect your educator or your teacher to go above and beyond to try and be that positive role model for you as well. Because they have so many things to look after, but Mr. Loudfoot just gave me time. Like, he'd pull me to the side of his desk and he'd be like, "Sam, I know you don't see it right now, but you're destined for great things in your future. And soccer is just one game in your life, but you're going to play thousands of different games. And at any point in time, you could start playing a new one." And there was this one day where I'm sitting in class and he grabs a piece of chalk and he starts writing these names on the blackboard of people who had changed the world. I was at a school last week and a student asked me what chalk was. I was like, "This is crazy." And he just wrote these names of people who had made massive impacts and then asked us what they all had in common. And he said the thing was they took small, consistent actions. And that if we want to change something, we could too by taking our own small, consistent actions. And that led to reflecting, thinking to myself what I could do. And then walking home from high school one day, I see a piece of garbage on the sidewalk. And I just made the decision that that was going to be my small, consistent action, picking up trash. That led to a group we started where we do these litter cleanups for 1 hour once a week. And it's led to over 350 community cleanup events, over 3,000 bags of garbage picked up, over 28,000 cigarette butts. The initiative has literally been featured all over my mom's Facebook page. And it's funny because I still have coffee chats with Mr. Loudfoot on his porch almost every summer. And there was one occasion where I asked him, "Sir, remember the lesson you taught in class about small, consistent actions? It changed my life." And he looked at me and he said, "I don't even remember teaching that lesson." It's like sometimes you don't even know how your words are having an impact, but he is someone who fundamentally changed my worldview, helped me understand that one of the most meaningful aspects of life is being of service to others and trying to spend your time on things that positively impact the world. So yeah, Mr. Loudfoot, thank you.
That is an amazing story. And one that I think resonates with teachers all over. And, you know, you never know when you're going to turn around and there's somebody in the hallway that just says, thank you. Or there's somebody who's doing a valedictorian speech and mentions their kindergarten teacher. Or, you know, we see stories like that. I wanted to bring up something that you mentioned earlier. You started writing a book to your former high school self, and then you decide to go into a different direction. If you were to start writing that book again, what would you say to your former high school self today after going through the last couple years of being able to help out so many students? What would you say to that high school student that all he wanted to do back then was to play soccer?
Well, it's interesting. There's so many thoughts. The first thought that immediately comes to the forefront of my mind is your hard work is never a waste. That was one of the most challenging things for me to digest after losing my soccer career, my identity as an athlete. You know, I kept telling myself, you spent 15 years chasing this dream and now it's for nothing. And I didn't recognize that there's no such thing as hard work that goes to waste, because that striving for excellence built my personality as someone who strives for excellence. And the moment I started, as Mr. Loudfoot said, playing a different game, that same personality shone through. So understand that your hard work is never a waste. It builds who you are and that serves you for the rest of your life. I would also tell my younger high school self, there's no problem you can't learn from. There's no challenge you can't overcome. And that on the other side of the problem and challenge might be your greatest opportunity. But if you stop showing up, you might rob yourself of even learning or figuring out what that thing is. You know, in hindsight, I would have never imagined I would be doing the work I'm doing today when I was still an athlete. Though, isn't it funny that this work brings me more joy and fulfillment than I personally believe sports ever could have? It has brought me in front of thousands of young people across North America, and this summer will bring me and two others across Kenya visiting 33 schools. There's no way I would be doing this sort of work if I was still a soccer player. So be present, allow it tomorrow to come when it's tomorrow. Take problems step by step and have fun. Don't put so much pressure on yourself.
What do you think your soccer career has done for you to lead you through this journey? What have you learned from soccer?
Soccer taught me that teamwork's really important, that worthwhile aims can't be accomplished alone, that everyone has a part and role to play, that they're all equally important. I believe I also had coaches that had instrumental impacts on me and my character. I had a coach named Bassam who would stop practice midway if one of our shirts came untucked. You know, he taught us what it meant to operate with a level of excellence that has stuck with me to this day. He taught us to shake everyone's hand with a smile on our face, even the coaches whose names we did not know if we were walking around the soccer field. I remember one time I sent him an email saying, "Hey, coach," and he responded, "Hey is for horses. Please use hi or hello." Sometimes I still use hey though. But these little lessons stacked up to build Sam Demma. So I believe the teamwork principle was a big thing. The professionalism from my coach Bassam was another big thing. And then an overall lesson that I still think about is there's no shortcut. And that's what soccer taught me. You know, the way you improve your shot is by taking a ball to a field and kicking it 500 times. Yes, you can have a coach and they can critique the way you're angling your foot and all these specific little details, but you still have to show up to a field and kick the ball hundreds of times. And in life, sometimes we're always searching for these shortcuts. And so that mentality of no, just show up and put in the reps has helped me a lot in other areas of my life, whether it's getting better at performing on stage for these school presentations or in becoming a better communicator and writer. Let me put in the reps, find a good coach and mentor the same way I had a good coach in soccer.
Well, you're certainly putting in the reps every single week. I'm looking through your 2024 event schedule. You went from New Jersey to Ontario to Michigan to Kenya, British Columbia, you name it. You've been all over the place. If you are talking to the administrators today, how can somebody get a hold of you and invite you to come out to their school?
Appreciate the invitation, Jeff. First and foremost, please make sure you're subscribed to this show if you're not already for more great episodes and guests. If someone wants to get in touch with me, the best way would be my website. It's just my name, samdemma.com. You can fill out the form there or send me an email. I would love the opportunity to serve your students or staff in the future.
What's next? After you get done your tour, after your backpack is empty, what do you see yourself doing in the next year, 2 years? What do you want to do in the future?
Great question. I'm right now very excited about this speaking tour we're doing in Kenya across 7 counties this summer. There's a young student who reached out 5 years ago that wanted to do work in schools, and we had a Zoom call and stayed in touch ever since. And now he is traveling around Kenya doing school stuff, and we've become best friends. And really excited about that project. So emptyyourbackpackafrica.com is where that will be housed, and people can follow along the journey. It starts July 11th, ends August 26th. It'll be a 6-week experience. I have a children's book coming out next November about kindness, which I'm really jacked and excited about. A little further in the future, I would love to mentor other people that have messages and missions they want to share in schools. So I'll be starting to do a little more of that in the next 2 to 5 years, along with acting. I just took my first acting class. So very excited about that and a new evolution. So
that is awesome. And Sam, you said, 24 years old, congratulations on all the success. I am just floored by your story and supercharged by the stuff that you are accomplishing. So congratulations to you and your team. I want to ask you one last question. I promised the audience that this was not pre-planned, but I got to look you right in the eye and I got to ask you this one, my friend. What's your mom think of all this?
I didn't invite my parents to a presentation of mine for the first 2 years because I was so nervous. And I remember the first one they came to was for a youth in policing event in Oshawa, which is like a 30-minute drive from my house. And they sat in the audience and there was these quiet moments where I'm sharing serious stories and you could hear my mom crying in the back. I'm so blessed. I have family who have stood beside me throughout this entire journey, who've supported me when there was no school speeches and nothing was happening. And I remember one of the most challenging conversations I had with my family was making the decision to pause my university studies to pursue what I felt like was this calling. And I'll never forget, my parents said, Sam, if it doesn't work out, you could always go back. Give it a shot. And that's been their attitude this entire time. And I'm getting goosebumps while I talk about them. They've been my biggest support system. So I hope they are very proud and I love them very much.
Shout out to Mom and Dad Demo, yes, right?
Let's go.
Sam, I want to say thank you. I need you to do me one big favor when that children's book does come out. Please give me a yell. I'd love to have you back on the show. And if you have anything that you'd like to do to reach out to Sam Demma, please head on over to samdemma.com. That's SAMDEMMA.com. You can check out all of his amazing merchandise. You can check out his book. You can help yourself empty your backpack. There's a lot of great things over there. Sam, thank you so much for your time today, my friend.
Jeff, keep doing the amazing work. It's a pleasure to meet you.
And we want to say thank you guys for checking out this episode. If you'd like to be featured on TeacherCast, please head over to teachercast.net. Fill out our contact form. We would love to have you. And of course, don't forget to like and subscribe this show and all of the others on the TeacherCast Educational Network. And that wraps up this episode of the Jeff Bradbury Show. On behalf of Sam and everybody here on TeacherCast, my name is Jeff Bradbury, reminding you guys to keep up the great work in your classrooms and continue sharing your passions with your students.
You've been listening to the TeacherCast Educational Network, hosted by Jeff Bradbury. Please reach out to the show with all of your questions on Twitter at TeacherCast or online at www.teachercast.net. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. And please take a moment to write a review in the App Store.